This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. They're called ambigrams, and a Michigan State University professor is using these lovely creative designs to explore creative ways of thinking, of playing mentally. His designs are being displayed at the MSU Museum. The exhibition is called Deep Play, Creativity in Math and Art Through Visual Wordplay. Punya Mishra is a professor of educational psychology and educational technology, and he's here with us now from Michigan State. I will have to confess, Punya, I've never heard that word ambigram before, and then I discovered I'm not alone. So let's start with that. What is an ambigram?
Well, thank you for having me. An ambigram is just a way of writing words so that they can be read in multiple ways. And this term was actually coined by Douglas Hofstadter, the cognitive scientist. And it took the word ambi and gram, so ambiguity and letter, you know, like a grammatical element. And so designs that you can create with these can read the same when you rotate them by 180 degrees, like you turn the paper, or you reflect them in a mirror. There's just a whole gamut of them. I mean, there's a whole Wikipedia page devoted to all different kinds of ambigrams.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at some right now as we talk on from your website, deep-play.com, so people can kind of get an idea of what it is you're talking about. What do they do for us?
Well, I started it just because it is like one of those nice, interesting puzzles that you can play with. But over time, I've come to realize that it sort of gives some insight into sort of the underlying math of space. So things like rotation, reflection, translation, these are sort of the elementary things we talk about when we talk about geometry. And as I started exploring that, it became sort of this really interesting, fascinating sort of learning experience for me. And was also this crossing this boundary between sort of mathematics and art. And I'm neither a mathematician, you know, professionally, I'm not really an artist, but it was kind of this interesting space where I could sort of explore some of these ideas. And I think also managed to convey to people a sense of play and wonder about both mathematics and design, because there is a strong aesthetic component to these designs as well, because many of the ones that I make, I don't even put up there anywhere because they don't look right. And I think if you talk to mathematicians, they also speak about sort of elegance and, you know, the proof that they create. And so it became this really interesting space for me to just sort of think and play with ideas.
And you use that term deep play. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, when we were thinking about the exhibition and so on. I mean, that's also the name of my research group here at Michigan State, by the way. So we struggled a lot with, like, what would be a name that would capture what it is that we want to do, because a lot of time we see in schools today, the idea of play is almost sort of ignored. You have no recess, you have no this, you have no that. And we strongly value this importance of play. In fact, we just wrote an article about how even evolutionarily play evolved as a way of making learning fun and happen. But we also wanted to distinguish ourselves from saying, oh, this is sort of superficial, some kind of a fluff, kind of a play. But it is really play with ideas. So I try really hard, for instance, in these ambigrams I create, to be true to the mathematics. So that's why I have a math friend. You know, he has a PhD in math. He keeps me honest about that. And so we wanted to capture this idea of playing seriously. You know, so how can we push the boundaries of both sort of the art and the math, but be honest to both the disciplines.
And do you see this being able to be inserted into classroom routines in Michigan, where we could get our young people thinking this way?
I think that there are some broader themes or ideas which I think can play a part. I mean, I have done some workshops with kids and with teachers about some of these ideas. But I think the deeper idea is that, you know, I do research on creativity and teacher creativity and so on, that creativity comes out of putting together ideas from different disciplines in new and novel and unique sort of combinations. And only when you have a foundation which is broad that cuts across disciplines, can you make that happen? If you have a very narrow sort of perspective, there is no way you can get new ideas to come in. And so that's why the arts and, you know, and playing and things like that become so important, because that's where the sort of combinatorial explosion can possibly happen. And so we've been sort of working on developing these ideas both in theory and in terms of our research that we do. So I see a lot of potential for that. We do live in a climate which is very test-driven, you know, and I think those have put significant constraints on teachers and what they can do. But in a world where we cannot predict what the world is going to look like 5-10 years from now, it seems to me that creativity and thinking about those ideas is very important. So I do think there is a lot of value in this, in the broader ideas that underlie this.
And in fact, we hear this conversation back and forth in Michigan about the big push toward the STEAM classes, or you know, and really the math and the technology and the engineering and the science, and then kind of peeling off from the arts. You're kind of uniting them.
Well, I mean, my work, I mean, I do a bit of historical work on sort of scientists and, you know, artists and so on. It keeps telling me over and over again that a creative scientist has interests which are outside of science, and those influence how they succeed. So, I mean, just to give a quick example, Alexander Fleming, the person who discovered penicillin, he used to love to play with bacteria. He used to make paintings with bacteria. And he argues that that's what made him notice that little black spot one day, when other chemists had just would have just thrown the Petri dish away. So it's his interest in art and, you know, and his sort of willingness to play with things that led to that discovery.
You were very inspired when you discovered Mahatma Gandhi actually tried to create ambigrams. What did he do?
That was like one of those weird, interesting coincidences where, so he had taken the letter M and tried to write it both as the letter M in English and so that it could read, or M, which is the M sound in Hindi. And he had done Karamchand, which is his middle name, K, trying to write it as a K and a K. You know, it's kind of fascinating to me. But it also, to me, spoke to the sort of the idea of play. If you think about 1947, this is a few months before he was assassinated. This is a few months after maybe his greatest sorrow, which was the partition of India. But even within that, he had this sort of sense of play with little shapes and letters. And to me, that's sort of a hallmark of a creative person, is that they mess around and muck around with things all the time. And they may not be greatly successful at many of the things they do, but it feeds into, I think, the passions and the creativity show in their own discipline.
The exhibit runs till the end of June at the Michigan State University Museum, and you can see examples of Punya's ambigrams by going to the website deep-play.com. That's deep-play.com. Punya Mishra, Professor of Educational Psychology and Educational Technology at Michigan State University. It was a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.